This talk is dedicated L'Iloi Nishmat Frank Benjamin. We are going to be discussing an incredible idea about Chanukah. Chanukah is around the corner, and they say the way that you approach the festival is the way that the festival is going to be. Let's delve into the festival. What exactly happened on Chanukah? Yeah. What is this idea that the Greeks were fighting the Jewish nation? What was really the secret behind the war? And how did the Jews react at the time? And why is it that till today we are lighting these Chanukah candles? So I want to share with you first the words of a great rabbi, Rabbi Chaim Friedlander. In his Siftei Chaim, he says the following words. He says, if you look at the prayer that we have, we know that we have the miracle of Chanukah is celebrated. There are two miracles. The first miracle is the miracle of the war. And the second miracle is the miracle of the lights. The miracle of the war, we mention it. Where do we mention the miracle of the war? In Alanisim, in the Amidah. Alanisim, Valapukom, Valagvurot, Valatshuot. And the miracle of the lights. Hanerot halalu anu madlikin. These candles we're lighting to remember that the miracles. That's what we say. And says Rav Friedlander, he says in the prayer of Alanisim, it says, for the miracles that you performed for our forefathers, Bayamim Hahem, in those days, Bazzaman Hazeh, in this time. What does it mean? So he says the Jewish holidays are not just historical events. Rather, he says, all that transpired then, the Yeshua, the salvation that happened over there, and the abundance and the spiritual and physical blessings are reestablished annually at the anniversary of this holiday. Wow. First thing that we're learning is it's not just a historical event. The Jews came, they beat, yeah, they put, they lit. All that energy, all that positivity is reestablished for 8 days. Every festival we have in Eretz Yisrael, the longest festival is 7 days. Pesach, 7 days. Sukkot, 7 days. Here we have a festival of 8 days. We have 8 days of blessing. And then he says, Ach midat ha-ashpa'ah. However, the unique form of divine influence and elevation that can be attained during each festival is dependent upon the degree to which a person prepares in advance. Depending on how much time you're going to devote, depending on how well you're going to learn this, is going to be how well your Chanukah is going to be. So, that's what we're doing. Today we're going to prepare ourselves to get there. Let's go through a little bit of the timeline. What happened at the time of Chanukah? When did Chanukah occur? How many years ago? At what stage in Jewish history were we? Were we in the time of the before the temple, the first temple, the second temple, in between? What's happened? So in the year, the Jewish year 3408, which is 353 BCE, the second temple is built. 319 BCE was the beginning of the Greek era, the Yavanim. They're called Yavan. Yavan is Greek. And Antiochus III, his famous name, that's how they called their leaders, Antiochus, seemingly. He came, he was part of the Seleucids, and he was the ruler of Syria, which was controlling Israel at the time. And he came to power the year 199. So we're talking roughly 154 years off into the time of the second Beit HaMikdash. Now what happens? 14 years later, in the year 175 BCE, a new Antiochus comes, Antiochus IV. And he wasn't such a nice guy. He was bringing out edicts against the Jewish people. There was the ability of Shabbat was banished. We weren't allowed to have a Shabbat. The Jews, every seventh day, they kept it as a Shabbat. They made it holy. They didn't do any melacha. Came Antiochus the Fourth, get rid of Shabbat. Brit Milah, which happens all around the world, defines a Jew? No. Rosh Chodesh, which is the calendar, came along, Antiochus banished it. And so many other things were decreed at the time. Bruchim Habaim Harry. Baruch Haba. So it says the temple was desecrated by Antiochus the Fourth in the year 168. The year was 168, and in 165 was the conquest of the temple by the Hashmonaim. So realistically, and from then onwards, you had the rule of the Hashmonaim, the Hasmoneans. They ruled, they beat off the Greeks, and they ruled for another 200 years, roughly, until the Roman governors and the Herodian dynasty came, and then the Romans destroyed the second temple in the year 68 CE. So we've been through a time. The first thing that we've learned is the time of Hanukkah occurs in the second temple, in the middle of the second Beit HaMikdash. And who is there? The Greeks. Now the Greeks, they didn't destroy the temple. The Babylonians destroyed the first temple. And the Romans destroyed the second temple. The Greeks came in the middle of the second temple and they defiled the temple. Now, when the Greeks conquered the Holy Land, they wanted to have a cultural influence. And that's what they did. They were called the Hellenizers. And they started to reduce any barriers the Jews had. So Shabbat was a barrier. Brit Milah is a barrier. Rosh Chodesh is a barrier. Taharat HaMishpacha, the fact that every lady, Jewish lady, goes to a mikvah, right? That was a barrier. So he said, no, we're not going to allow that. On the contrary, every Jewish lady, before she wants to get married, she has to first have a relation with a Greek general. That's how it was. It was the opposite of everything. And so the faithful Jews found themselves increasingly under pressure, alienated by society, oldies, ancient guys. You're people of the past, you're not really with it anymore. And the Hellenizers were coming and growing. Says the Rambam the following: Bebayit sheni kshemalchu Yavan gazu gezerot al Yisrael. The Rambam, Maimonides, talking about Hanukkah, says, Ubitlu datam velo inichu otam lasok b'Torah. They didn't allow them to learn Torah, to do mitzvot. Upashtu yadam b'mamonam u'b'benotam. They took over control of their finances and of their daughters. And they came in, v'nechnetzu l'heichal, they came into the temple, uparzu bo pratzot, and they made these pritzot, they made these holes. What? There was walls that were up, they bashed the walls down, signifying there's no difference between me and you. V'tamu taharot, and they made the pure impure, and the Jewish people were very, very in trouble. And there was a big pressure. Until God Almighty came and had mercy, and the God of their fathers had pity on them and saved them. Look at what the Rambam says. The God of their fathers had pity. I would have said the Hashmonaim, the Hasmoneans, they stood up, they fought. They did a good fight. No, he doesn't say that. Rambam doesn't even mention them here. God had pity. And this is very essential. These words are very, very essential. But he doesn't just say God. He says the God of their fathers. Why say the God of their fathers? Why is it their God? Because the whole thing that instigates God's mercy, is our fathers, the actions of our forefathers, our predecessors. They gave up so much for God Almighty that we are reaping in the bracha from them. So here too, he's saying, what is it that caused the Greeks to go away eventually? the God of their forefathers heard the Jewish people and destroyed the Greeks, got them away. So there were two miracles, and we know the Gemara tells us about this miracle of the lighting candle. The Jewish people came in, the Chashmonaim, they started to fight. How did it happen? At first, there was a guy called Matityahu. He had five children, Yehuda, Maccabi, and they were called the Maccabees. And at one stage, our rabbis tell us that they came into a place called Modi'in, which they have a place nowadays in Israel called Modi'in, after that. And the Greeks wanted to offer up an offering to their God, and they got one Jewish person involved, and then they also wanted to defile his daughter of one of the Maccabees. So eventually he stood up, he killed them, killed the Greeks, and they ran to the hills. And they started the revolt slowly, slowly. Rashi says of Zot HaBracha, 12 Maccabees, they destroyed all the Greek army. But years and years and years and years, not 5 seconds. It's not a 10-day war, 12-day war, 6-day war. It's years. But nevertheless, the Rambam says God had mercy. They fought. God had mercy. Because this is the difference. Who was Yavan? In order to understand what's the difference, what's the big deal that we have an entire festival over here and that we beat the Greeks, what are we celebrating? Let's understand who Yavan was and what did they represent and what was so bad about what they represent. The Torah tells us the story about Noah. Noah goes into a teva. He's in the ark for a whole year. He goes in with his three sons, Shem, Cham, and Yefet. They're three wives. Noah and his wife, the three wives, they weren't allowed to have relations the entire year. They're in there with all the animals of the world, and he's going day and night, and he's giving food and drink. That's what he's doing. After 1 year, he comes out. Vayehiyu b'nei Noach hayotzim min ha-teva, Shem, Cham, the Yefet. V'cham hu avi Kenan. Cham was the father of Canaan. The entire world came from these three people, says the Torah. And then the Torah tells us, Noach began to be a man of the soil. That's the first thing. What is the first thing that he did? He planted a vineyard. He comes out. He's given thanks to Hashem that he's alive. He built a mizbeach. He offered up offerings. He builds a vineyard. As soon as he plants a vineyard, miracle happens. And it's ready, it's planted. And the wine, the grapes are ready, obviously they're ready, he drinks it. But not just drinking grape juice, somehow they become wine. He drank some of the wine, making himself drunk, and uncovered himself in his tent. Cham, the father of Canaan, saw his father's nakedness, and he told the two brothers outside, Shem and Yefet, and Shem and Yefet come in. Shem comes in first, and Yefet with him, and they cloak, they garb him, so that he's now wearing proper clothes. What happened in essence is they took away the ability, Cham, who was the third son over there, he took away the ability for his father to have any more children. He said, it's enough, we've got three kids. I take a third, he takes a third. You're going to give another kid, and we're going to split it, a quarter, quarter, quarter. The world wasn't enough for him to have a third. He wanted more. So he said, Adkan. And Shem and Yefet came in. Now, because Shem and Yefet covered him, they get rewarded. And because Cham did what he did, some say it wasn't Cham, it was Canaan that did it, Cham's son, that's why the Torah introduces. So Cham's son, Canaan, gets cursed. So Noah curses Canaan, and then he gives a blessing to the others. Yafte Elohim liyefet. What he says is the following. He says, he then said, blessed be the God, the Lord of Shem. Canaan shall be his slave. May God expand Yefet, but he will dwell in the tents of Shem. And let Canaan be their slave. So Yefet gets a special blessing. Who is Yefet the father of? The Torah tells us, "Bnei Yefet Gomer u'Magog u'Madai v'Yavan v'Tuval u'Mashach v'Tiras." Yavan is the son of Yefet, the grandson of Noah. Yavan is Greece. Greece is the grandson of Noah. And who is the grandchildren of Shem? The Jewish people. Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, the Yitzchak, the Yaakov. So on the one hand, Yefet gets a blessing. And what was his blessing? His blessing that he will expand. But he will always dwell in the tents of Shem. And Shem's blessing is that God will be with him. So now we're beginning to understand a little bit about Greece. So based on Noach's blessing, our rabbis understood that the Greeks were possessed of certain virtues that were worthy of Jewish respect. And we see this when it comes to the Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Megillah, Daf Chet and Daf Tet, says the following. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said, Af bisfarim lo hitiru shichtavu eli yavanit. You want to translate the Torah. Nowadays, you can translate the Torah. Unfortunately, Heferu Torah Techa. It wasn't so simple. We're not allowed to translate the Torah. The Torah is in Hebrew. You want to learn the Torah, come and learn Biblical Hebrew. When you translate something, you lose its essence. The words of Hashem. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim et haaretz. I'm going to translate it in the beginning of God's creating of the heavens and the earth. Well, I belittled it. You don't have the Gematria. You don't have Peshat. You don't have the Rush. You don't have Pardes. What do you have? You have English. But I'm thick and I don't understand. And Yerida Tadoro, the generations have gone down. So we have to translate it, otherwise there'll be no connection with the future. But really, we have to higher our standards to learn Biblical Hebrew. Says Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, if you want to translate the Torah into Greek, it's the only language that you can do it. Af besvarim lo hitiru shechtuvu eli yavanit. My time, what's the reason? Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, kara yefet Elohim li yefet vishkon be'ole shem, devarav shel yefet yiyu be'ole shem. It says, the Pasuk says, when Noah gave the bracha, that the words of Yefet should be found in the tents of Shem, meaning in the our Bate Midrash, you can be saying the words of Yefet, meaning Greek. You can be learning Torah in Greek. That's a big statement. That means, wow, we respect the Greek wisdom over here. It's the only one. Doesn't say you can learn in Egyptian and in Roman. No, in Greek. The Greeks were the first to request the translation of the Torah. Gemara Megillah continues, Ma'aseh betalmaya melech shekinsa, shekines shivim v'shnaim zekenim. He gathered 72 great elders. And he said to them, he put each one in a different place and he said, I want you all to translate the Torah into Greek. And they did. And each one translated exactly. The miracle happened that everyone translated exactly the same. Kitvu li Torat Moshe Rabbechem, and that's what they did. So the desire, the Maharal says, that the desire for a translation of the Torah shows the extent of Greek desire for wisdom. Ah, the Torah is wise. The Torah is wise. That's the wisdom of the world. We want to know it in Greek. So, history bears the mark of Greek influence. And we can see in politics, in language, in economics, in educational, in philosophy, we can see. And we can even see how the Jews also recognize this. So where do we differ? Do we have a shared mission? Do we have a different mission? What's so big that the Jews smashed away the Yavan? What did they do wrong? So first we'll understand how we have this similar mission. And then we'll see what they did wrong. The story that's brought down in the Gemara Yuma, and also Josephus Flavius brings this as well, says the following. On the 25th of Tevet, it's the day of Har Gerizim, on which no mourning is permitted. What does that mean? The Gemara says, you come to the 25th of Tevet, don't mourn, don't be sad, be happy. Why? It's the day that the Samaritans, the Tzedukim, the Kutim, sorry, they demanded the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. And Alexander the Great was going to do it. Alexander the Great was on his way to Yerushalayim to destroy the Beit HaMikdash. The Kutim had, you know, nudged him, destroy, yeah? Okay, it's a conqueror. He comes on his way, and on his way to doing it, Shimon HaTzadik is the Kohen Gadol. He hears that Alexander the Great is coming to destroy the Beit HaMikdash. He takes people with him, with torches, on the right and on the left, and the entire night they're walking. They walked all night, some on one side and some on the other, until dawn. When dawn rose, Alexander asked the Samaritans, he saw them from afar, he said, "Who are these people?" They said, "The Jews who rebelled against you." "Yeah, they come, we can kill them now. Ha, we can see. Let's get rid of these guys early." As he watched, as he reached Antipatris, it says, the sun rose and they met. Alexander the Great is meeting Shimon HaTzadik. When Alexander saw Shimon HaTzadik, he descended from his carriage and he bowed before him. So they said to him, "A great king, you know, like yourself, you bow before this dirty Jew? What's going on?" He said to them, "It's his image that leads me to victory in all my battles. Every time I'm going to a battle, I see this image of this Tzaddik, and suddenly I see that they didn't have phones that they could see, this is the guy in Yerushalayim. This is the guy that's praying for me." So now he meets the Kohen Shimon HaTzadik, and he says to them, "No, what have you come for? Why are we meeting in the middle of nowhere? You come for something?" So he says, so they answered, Shimon HaTzadik answered. He said, "Esha bayit shemitpalalim bo alecha, is it possible that a temple where they're praying for your success and for your kingdom should mislead you to destroy the house where the prayers are said for you and your kingdom that is never to be destroyed? Is it, there's some people that want to destroy the temple that people are praying for you." So he said, "Who is this?" He said, "It's the Samaritans here." So he said, "Natnu beyadecha, they're yours to do what you want." And he handed them over and there was no destruction of the temple. The culture of Yavan and the culture of Eretz Yisrael, of Am Yisrael, was to pave the way for a better world. So where did we go wrong? Where did we go wrong? You know, in the Torah, it says, "Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz, ha-aretz haita tohu v'vohu v'choshech al penei tohom. V'ruach Elohim rachefet al penei." There are four galiot on that, the Midrash says. And it calls the exile of Greece, choshech, darkness. Why is Greece referred to as darkness? They were so wise. Where's the darkness? When somebody is wise, we say he brings a light, not darkness. And more so, we call it Galut Yavan. Where's the Galut? Where's the exile? We were in the land of Israel. Right now, we're in the living in the land of Israel. Yeah, we're in the land of Israel. We're in Galut? Or have we come back? Are we still in Galut? We are in Galut because we're not under real dominion. We're not under Torah dominion. We're in Galut. So there they were under Galut Yavan. Why? Why is it called Galut Yavan? So Greece is likened to darkness. And the question is why? To understand this, Greece, they were very wise, very philosophical. They brought to the world a culture of wisdom. But why? What was the purpose of their wisdom? Why do we learn science? Why do we want to know what's happening? Why do we want to be the next startup? Because we want to have the ability to rule in our own hands. We want to subdue nature under us. We want to be in control. I want to know how I can speak to someone in America, because I'm a God here. I can speak now to somebody in America. It's an unbelievable thing. Go back in time 200 years ago, 150 years ago. You'd be able to speak to someone 6,000 miles away in a millisecond, and they're hearing you. Are you crazy? Yes, it exists. But why do I want to do that? It makes my life easier. But more than that, I'm in control. I can control nature. And the more wiser I get, the more I can control nature. Now, the Torah wants us to control nature. But the Torah wants us to control nature in service of God. Judaism teaches to control ourselves. Greece teaches we are in control. And therefore, what Greece does is it brings darkness, it brings complete choshech, because the purpose of the world isn't that we're in control just so that we become the gods. The purpose is that we are in control of ourselves in order to serve God. And this is really the miracle that's happening on Hanukkah. Because what's happening on Hanukkah? The Jewish people were there. They were suffering. Okay, Greece is around. We weren't chucked out of the country. But they didn't want us to have Shabbat. Why? Because Shabbat represents our connection to God Almighty. You're connected to God? You don't need to be connected to God. Brit Milah? You're connected to God? No. You run the calendar? It's good to run a calendar. We'll also have a calendar, but a calendar with festivals that connect you to a God? Okay. Keep God out of this. Darkness. Keep God out of it. So what did the Jews do? That's it. We can either give up. Yeah, I can't be bothered. It's too much. The Greeks are warriors. They're tough. They're right. They're wise. They've got theaters. And it's nice life. And it's chilled. And they brought the physical and the gym. And everything's fantastic. And we are in control. And it makes sense. And they're wise people. Just give in. So Harbe, a lot of people did give in. And they became Greek. They became Hellenists. And at that moment, HaKadosh Baruch in his mercy, he remembered the God of the Jewish fathers, Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. What did they give? They gave of themselves. But he needed a catalyst. And who was the catalyst? Ma'atim. Few people. 12 guys. Wow. You know what Hanukkah is showing? The power of the mi'ut, of the 12 guys. Who's 12 people? What can they do? 12 people. You're going to tell me, Rabbi, this is a small minyan. What's 12 people going to do? Now they stood up. And slowly, slowly, one thing led to another, to another, to another, until they managed to get rid of the Greeks. And what was their slogan? They're called the Maccabees. Why are they called the Maccabees? Because it comes from the words, Mi kamocha ba'elim Adonai. Mem, Maccabi, Kaf, Bet, Yud, Maccabi, Mi kamocha ba'elim Hashem. Who is a warrior as mighty as you, God Almighty? That was the slogan. Our slogan is God. And then they come in and they find nothing. Devastation. Everything's tameh. They've got oil, but it's all tameh. It's all impure. So what should they do? So what do? They search. They make more of an effort. More of an effort. Mutar, it's okay. Everything, though, logically, it's okay. Just use any oil. Who cares? We're lucky enough to have the temple. We'll find oil in 8 days. It took 8 days to go, 4 days to come, backwards and forwards. Is 8 days to get? No, but they don't. That's not enough. I need to go. I need to search. And so they search, and God reveals them a little kad, a little pach shemen, a little jar. And they say, okay, we're going to do what we can do. And they light. And it lights for 8 nights and days. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? The Greeks wanted to take away. They wanted to mask us. They wanted to bring darkness. But we understand it's all about self-control. And the more we understand, especially in this day and age, if we can self-control ourselves, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're doing the mission, you're doing the correct thing, you're bringing light to the world. Much better than all the wisdom. And therefore, a person can sit down and he can learn Torah and say, it's so intellectual, that's so great. But there's a bigger purpose, because when a person learns the Torah and you're learning about damages in the Gemara, did someone damage that one? What do I care? It's so far-fetched. We're learning also the ethics. We're learning what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. Person can sit in a place, in a synagogue, and be a big rabbi. And what happened, unfortunately, in COVID times, that you saw people and they're coughing out their sickness to everyone. And what about the damages? What about Bor B'Rishut HaRabim? What about taking care of everybody else? You came to synagogue, Mazel Tov, but what about everybody else? So the Torah teaches us to take care of everything else. And this is really why we have Hanukkah is always around the parasha of Vayeshev. Vayeshev talks about Yosef. Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef. There are two major sins, says the Chida, that we suffer from till today. The first is Egel HaZahav, the golden calf. The golden calf represents a sin between us and God. And the second sin was the sale of Joseph, Yosef, Mechirat Yosef. That represents problems, the sin between our people. Those are the two sins that we have to attack in. And the Greeks, what did they want to do? They wrote on the horns of the oxes, they said, "En lecha," you don't have chelek, a portion, with the God of Israel. They wanted to instill it, the horns, what you're using for your work. Just forget God, forget him. And the ox represents Yosef. They wanted to destroy us from within. We're already broken, Hellenization, and our connection to God. They wanted to attack both. They wanted to bring the darkness. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu enabled us to see otherwise. And a few people got the message and they stood up, and that led to the light that came through. As Zav Hashem, we should, when we're standing by the Neirot Chanukah, it says, Reb Chaim Palaji says, when you buy your Chanukah, Chanukah has got, he brings the Zohar and the Bamidbar, it's got the power, the same power as the shofar has on Rosh Hashanah. You have that same power of Tahara when it comes to lighting the candles. So this is the power that we have, and that's why people pray by the candles. That's why people stay for a few moments, utilize the moment, utilize the time, and Bezal Hashem should bring all to Am Yisrael. Amen. Amen.